Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome back to the Lantern Rouge Cycling Podcast with mi compadre, Benji Nyssen, for Giro d'Italia Stage 18, a big transition stage, 231 kilometres long, sunny conditions, so no shortening of the stage today. And because of Morbegno last year, they've put some hills at the end of the stage just so that it looks like it has more of a purpose, but this is going to be 100% break stage as we expected. So pretty much flat for the first 200Ks and then a collection of four climbs to spice up the last 40, 35 kilometres. They're 3.5Ks, 4%, straight into 5Ks, 4%, then a descent, and then 1.5Ks, 7.5%, the steepest of them, but short, then descent, short little valley, and then 2.5Ks at 5.7%, then pretty much a descent or false flat descent to the finish from the crest of that, that a 9K, or no, sorry, less than that, 6K descent. So it's getting warmer now in Europe. I want to give a big shout out to our show partner, Locol. They've got the Mountain Pro Air jerseys they've been dropping across the last month. Some new designs have come through recently. I encourage you to go and check them out if you're interested. One of the super fans, long-time listener, Graham, told me that the LRCP20, all caps LRCP20 discount code works on top of already discounted items, which is a bit of a life hack. So if you want to get a Pro Air jersey or the new Pro Aero jersey, you can go and check them out on our show partner, Locol. But Benji, I want you to explain to me why Peter Sagan personally was chasing down breakaways today, trying to limit people getting in the break. Just from start to finish, why is that happening rather than him getting in the break himself?
So we know that Peter Sagan, starting the stage, is leading the Ciclamino jersey. So the points classification of the Giro d'Italia, and he's doing that with a margin on the second person in that, being Cimolai. He's now at 135 Sagan. 113 this morning was Cimolai, so that is 22 points, if my math serves me right, and 25 on the third place, that is Gaviria. We know that Gaviria has UAE around him. We know that Cimolai has Israel around him. Sagan has Bora around him. And when it comes to forming a breakaway, a lot of teams today are going to be interested to get into that breakaway because the stage on paper looked like a breakaway stage because there's only those three riders that have a team that might be interested in a potential sprint. But Cimolai and Israel haven't done so for the entirety of this Giro, and they haven't really put much into Cimolai when it comes to trying to catch people and trying to catch back certain areas and breakaways to try and get this Ciclamino with Cimolai. So I wasn't expecting anything from Cimolai and Israel in regards to trying to control the breakaway today. The points classification of the Giro is a bit different than the one from the Tour de France. The Tour de France has these super sprints on every single stage, the intermediate sprint that gives you 20 points. In the Giro, that is scaled between the types of stages. So you've got category A plus B stages, category C stage, and category D and E stages. In category A stage, which is basically the flatter ones, you've got 20, 12, and so forth as the points to gain if you go in the breakaway. And in all honesty, well, the ones on mountain stage just aren't that worthy to go into. And that's why he's thinking, if I save it here, if I close down the breakaways that include, well, my two closest opponents, then I will not have the issue that they will certainly gain points today. And with the limited amount of points that being given in the next few days, it's going to be very much unlikely that they're going to be taking all those points again and taking them away from me.
It's kind of resulted in a bit of defensive racing from Bora. They didn't get anyone into this break, which I think even with the Ciclamino, the sort of rationale Benji described, it's still, they could have put Aliotti or Grosjean or Benedetti. Surely one of them could have gotten a break and then had Os maybe policing with Sagan behind. But we had a big, strong break that did go And then Ineos completely switched off. Peloton's irrelevant today. I think they're still riding as we're recording. Here's the break. Rivi, Nico Denz, Wesley Crater, Battistella, Zana, Gavazzi, Mosca, Cataldo, Ponema, Aldani, Quickman for Lotto Soudal, Desfazion, Pelo, Richese, Roche, Consoni, the lead-out man for Viviani, Vermeersch, quite strong for Alpecin, Gorka, Izaguirre, Vendrame, already won a stage, Nicky Assant, he's won stages of the Giro from break before, Bevan, Cyril Strong in, Romandy, Cavagna, Bettiol, and Diego Ulissi. So the big favourites out of that group were Ulissi. I mean, he's won a Giro stage every year of his life, Bettiol and Cavagna, because we do have those collection of hills. So Ulissi, if it's a sprint and it's really even further reduced, or Bettiol, Cavagna on the attack. And I think we'll fast forward, Benji, to the base of the first hill, because pretty much nothing happens. It's the large group, and we knew the hit with 200Ks done, they were going to attack on that first hill, which wasn't particularly steep. And it was Nico Roche, I think, leading a group with Bettiol, and it was a bit of tension, Benji, between there's the sprinty boys in the group, like Arndt, and then the climbing guys who know they can't, they can't win from a sprint, and then there's the rouleurs. So who, I think, was in that group, Benji? Was it Bettiol and co? And when did Cavagna then decide to make his move?
Well, the group indeed had, well, different people, and if you know that you're a rouleur, then you're going to try and make a move just before a climb to have a bit of a gap on people that are better at climbing. If you're a sprinter, you try and do the same. If you're a climber, you try and make a difference on the climb. It's all kind of logical. And, well, Cavagna, he decided to go with about 26 kilometers to go. And that was, I think, not on the first climb anymore, right?
Or no, it was on the second. Yeah.
And he actually made a pretty solid gap the first time around, because it's the kind of attack you make and then the other people in the group are like, oh god, who's going to close us down? And you know that if Cavagna's making a move, then he's not going to do so slowly. The TGV was off for a tiny bit and the gap was starting to open up, and then you're starting to wonder how is this descending going to be, because we've had mixed signals in the past from Cavagna. We had that one horrendous descent that he had in some USA race, and then Cali, correct? And then we had some decent descending in other races. Let's be real. He's not always horrendous at descending. And, well, today we started seeing him at 24 seconds, I think, the start of the descent. And on the descent itself, he took his corners offline so much. It was just a reminder of Cali again. It wasn't as bad. Like, to be honest, it wasn't as bad, but it wasn't good.
Oh, mate, he nearly crashed three times. But then again, he's trying to descend on the limit to keep his gap. I mean, Sagan's nearly crashed in corners, you know, like Nibali's crashed on the Cervilio descent.
No need to remind us.
No, what's the one? No, I'm saying in the hairpin, he didn't crash. He just pushing it to the limit. What's his nickname, Benji? What's the name of a regional, if he's the TGV on the flats and false flat uphills, what's a regional French train for the downhills that's really slow and is always late? That could be his downhill nickname. Maybe someone can comment down below. So the SNCF or something? They're all right. Anyway, it was one of those stages, I think. And we saw Bettiol closing with Nico Roche. Bettiol was an animal today. Bevan initially was doing work on the front as if he had Chimolai in the group, but he wasn't in the group. What do you make of Roche with his hands tied, Benji? If Bettiol goes up the road chasing Cavagna on the climb, 25-second gap, do you pull, trying to keep it close so that Arndt can win the sprint, or is it better to just have Roche try and mark Bettiol?
Oh, I think that it's a good question. I think that I would have been working together with Bettiol as Roche, because you've still got the next climb to try and get rid of him. The problem is that Bettiol is obviously a better sprinter than Roche, which means that if they end up in the same group at the finish line, then he's not going to be beating him. So we need to drop him. And in all honesty, so far in that stage, I didn't see any weakness in Bettiol more than Roche. So I kind of understand that Roche didn't take over.
Yeah, I get Roche sitting on. I think Roche was slightly quicker on the downhills than Bettiol, but on the climbs, Bettiol was certainly stronger. So we get to the second to last climb, 1,500 meters long, steeper, not Cavagna's preferred terrain. He's got a healthy gap, 25 seconds on Betiol and Rowe. Betiol attacks out of the group with Bevan trying to close it, as I said, and he eats into it quickly. The Italian time gaps are saying the gap has gone from 30 to 35. Meanwhile, we see Cavagna in the saddle grinding, and Betiol's like sprinting at 800 watts out of the saddle. I was like, that is incorrect. But he Cavagna makes it over the top clear, I think, with 15 seconds. Yeah. And on the descent, I think he gained a bit on the descent. I mean, we were just roasting him a little bit, but he was pushing it maybe harder than Betiol. He certainly gained in this like 3 to 4K valley between the two climbs. He was gaining on Betiol, who we saw dropping Roche off the wheel at points out of corners. So Roche was definitely on the limit. You got to remember, these guys done 220 Ks at this point, third week of a GT. I think Cavagna goes into his short favorite for the stage live at this point, but they hit the last climb. 2.6 Ks, 5.7%, big ring climb for these guys. Cavagna's looking good, but then Betiol, he's clawing him back. 15 seconds, 10 seconds. We then see that the long shot. You see Cavagna in the distance. Betiol drops Nico Roche, and then Betiol suddenly at Cavagna's back wheel and pretty much rides past him. The TGV cracks. And he was gone, like fully cracked Cavagna. And we knew at that point that there's no way he was winning the stage. We've got this descent into town. I'll ask Benji about Cavagna after that. We've done the finish. Descent into town, and no one was really bringing back Betiol at that point. I think he looked like he was still going strong in the group behind. Whilst they were catching Nico Roche, there wasn't too much cohesion there either. I think Arndt was cooked. He'd been dropped and he was trying to chase them back. And it was Betiol winning this stage, his first Grand Tour stage win. Crazy to think about that. And a great win for him, EF, and as an Italian in the third week winning this stage. Tour of Flanders and now big gap and then winning today. Just a weird Palmari. He's just a strange sort of rider and his strange skills. But, yeah, got the job done today. And then it was Consoni, I think, second Benji. Is that maybe a better result than Viviani so far? 17 seconds back then, Roche aren't DSM 3-4. That's why I asked the question of Benji, what should they have done differently, if anything? You'll see fifth, Battistella sixth, Zana seventh, Tesfazione eighth, Cavagna ninth, gapped another 7 seconds back, and Mosca 10th. But my question, Benji, did Cavagna go too early? We've seen him do this. He's so strong. Did he go one climb too early?
Well, in hindsight, it's easy to say, but I don't think so. Like, in hindsight, you'd say, he went too early. But I think that if he went the climb later, he would also be more tired, and thus his attack might not have been going solo. It might have been having Betiol in his wheel. So I think that for Cavagna's attacks to work, they need to be in a moment that the other climbers are not yet ready to make their move. And if he waits until the moment where the others are going to make their move, then he's likely not going to get away against the climbers. So I don't think he went too early. I think he did what he thought was right. That for him usually works out pretty well. And the fact that you've got that plateau section a bit between the climbs as well offers him the opportunity to push that a bit forward. But
yep,
I think that there was just too much climbing for Cavagna to beat the people that he had to beat on this kind of terrain. So, I don't think you can really blame him too much for the move he made. I think that all in all, the strongest man in the breakaway won today.
Yeah, Betiol's hella strong. And I think the sequencing of the climbs was difficult for Cavagna, as Benji said. If he doesn't go on the second climb, well, how is he going to go on the 1,500-meter 7.5% climb with a steeper section? That doesn't suit him at all. He's just going to be hanging on there. I guess his option then is to go, if he's still with the group and someone like Betiol hasn't attacked, which he probably would have, the valley before the last climb. But then he's on the defensive. It's difficult. And I think with someone like Betiol in the group, it just was almost impossible for him to win. There was one climb too many for Cavagna. But good try nonetheless. And it was quite an exciting last 30Ks. I actually enjoyed it. And it was good to see Betiol win. In terms of GC, nothing happened. And they're all rolling in tomorrow's stage. I know that nothing happened. They were 20 minutes back, but still 2:30Ks in the legs. It's still tiring in a third week. Tomorrow's stage from Abbiategrasso to Alpe di Miro. Mira, 166 Ks long. They did change the first climb it's no longer going to Motorone. It's being diverted because, out of respect for the Piedmont region, I think the Piedmont local government requested that it was moved because of the tragic cable car accident that was in that region last week or so. So they're doing a 12.8K 3% climb. We don't think that changes the race too much, to be frank. And then another climb, second last climb, Paso de la Colma, 7.7K 6% descent, false flat uphill valley, then 9.6Ks, 9%. I think this suits Bernal more than the other day. At least he said so. Are you sensing another Dan Martin win today, or tomorrow, Benji, or someone like that in the break? Do you think, I mean, Bex have lost Nick Schultz. Who's going to be controlling or have the cojones to control tomorrow's stage?
You just had to go there, didn't you?
Had to.
When it comes to this stage, I think that indeed, like most of these stages so far in this Giro, I'd argue the break is most likely to win. The problem that I see with these kind of stages, though, is that the last climb is the biggest. So that's always a bit against the breakaway, because that makes that you need a substantial amount of minutes on the last climb. With the 9% average for 10 kilometers, I think that probably 4 or 5 minutes, if Ineos is pushing real hard, well, probably not. Probably like 4 minutes.
Why would they though?
On the climb itself, you know. But before the climb, they wouldn't.
But even on the climb, don't you think they'll be? Do you think they'll be confident, or do you think they'll be false pushing?
It would be funny to see like other teams push, and then like five riders of Ineos just like sitting in their wheel. But you're right. Like today was very good for them. That it's a slow tempo in the peloton, finishing 20 minutes behind. It's good for Bernal that nothing happened on today's stage. On tomorrow's stage, he's gonna get people that are pushing against him. But who's left? Like, let's be honest. Trek is in shambles with Ciccone out of the race. Italy's hand is not pretty great at the moment. Then you look at, like you mentioned, Nick Schultz being gone for Yates' team. That's his best climber that was helping him out. And then we look at Caruso's team, and you've got the fact that half their team is gone. And who's left? I don't think Arashiro is going to make the difference on the last climb today. No offense to Arashiro, he's a nice guy. But, like, who's left?
You've got...
Yeah, but
no confidence. They have no confidence in Carthy. Yeah,
I wouldn't either. Like, he hasn't been up there recently.
Like, what are you going to do? Yeah. Same with Vlasov. What are you going to do? Pace and then get them dropped again and have people laugh at you. That's been happening. I think if I'm Ineos, honestly, I try and make this stage an absolute snoozer, and yeah, I go. I said I let break go. I just control with Ganna. Those two climbs in the middle should be no problem for Narvaez and Moscon at all. You'd probably even want it, you'd be able to keep them for the last climb. And then I ride 5.2, 5.3 on the last climb, whilst Bekele, none of this 5.7, 5.8 from the other day. And if someone else wants to take it up from the bottom, I think you pace it back with your team. You do that. You go back to your roots in your strategy. If Yates wants to attack early, because I mean, I don't see his team being able to set up something nuclear on this climb and pace for 5-6 Ks, because there's steep sections here in the 7th and 8th K, 11.2, 11.3, the steep stuff here. But if they go to that section, they're not going to be fresh, but if they haven't had someone setting 5.8, 5.7, and it's been slower, then Yates' attack, one would think, would be less effective. So that's what I would do if I was Ineos. Go back to your roots, set a defensive train. And I know that's what people don't want to hear, but that's what they got to do, I think.
Yep.
And if Yates wants to attack, let him go and just limit the losses like you did in Catalonia, like you've been doing for a decade, and let Martinez close it. And because Yates likes to attack, gets a 30-second gap, and then he sits on that. And he doesn't really extend it. You saw it at Prati di Tivo. Attack got within 10 seconds of Pogacar, couldn't close it. Got within 30 seconds of Martin, couldn't close it. And I think you just don't – you want to nurse Bernal. Do you see them being aggressive, Benji? Or am I being – what would you do if you were them?
I think I agree with your strategy. Well, not your strategy, but like the plan you played out for the majority of the teams. The problem is that there's really no GC rider that has – an incentive to pace on this day. Like we mentioned, every single team so far except the SM, but Bardet wasn't looking too great on Stigaliala either. So they're not going to have the confidence to pace here as well. So I think that looking at GC, the entire top 10 is sealed for me. I think if you're 10th on 13 minutes and the 11th rider is on 19 minutes, then it's likely that the top 10 is going to stay the same until someone collapses. And then you look at who's going to fight for top 5. Well, it's all close there, but is the battle going to be happening on this stage? I don't think so. So it's all stuff like that. I do think that Almeida is the one rider that could have the confidence after Sigaliala to try something.
Yeah, good call.
But the problem is, how much is the Koenig willing to do for him on this kind of stage? And
I wish they
would. I don't think pacing throughout the stage is going to be worth it for them, because they're going to be needed in the upcoming stages. While this stage is not necessarily the hardest of the ones that are coming in terms of climbs following up each other. So I'm looking at the breakaway to win. I am really surprised that Bora didn't put a single soul of their riders in the breakaway today, because, well, Fabro, Groschartner, Aliotti, all those riders could have been in the break today, and they were not. Are they going to be there tomorrow? I think that Bora should put someone in the breakaway next to Ciclamino jersey. Their Giro so far has been, well, in shambles due to the Buchmann crash. So that team, I expect to put someone in the break. Fabro, you never know, something like that. Fortunato for Aiolo. Yeah, Aliotti, a good rider for that. Pedrero, perhaps again for Movistar, but I think he's better at the... I would have said he's better at the climbs that follow each other up, but I'm not actually sure about it. I think he's just a decent climber at the moment, and Pedrero actually deserves a victory at this point, I'd say. And then we're looking at the same people as always. Jumbo, George Bennett, is he going to try again? He could try again. It's his only way to get into the top 10 is by gaining time by going in a breakaway here. And he is currently sitting 11th in GC, 6 minutes behind Dan Martin. So he needs to do something like that to get into the top 10. So I expect George Bennett to be in the tag in at least one of the coming days. Formulo, he's now 14th in GC on 30 minutes. He needs to do something. Otherwise, why are you here? Like, no offense, because I think that he had a puncture in Montalcino, and he's in my Velo Games team, so I do appreciate you.
Me too.
But
well, tomorrow, it's bring a teammate in the break day. You look at this profile. look at the long valleys between these climbs, and as Benji said, it doesn't suit
Pedrero. Afeni for George Bennett.
Yeah, exactly. Afeni. Almeida needs to have teammates. Who was the other name you said?
I don't think Almeida's going to be in the break.
What I would love to happen, and would make it a more exciting stage, if the 10th on GC type guys, Almeida and Bennett and co, and Dan Martin, get into the break, because then
8 minutes Ineos, and off. Ineos should be happy.
Ineos should be happy with that, because that means they don't have to do shit all day, because then EF or Astana will blink, one would think, and they'll chase it down. Exchange will chase it. So that would even allow Ineos to take their foot off the gas a little bit, because their gap is so big to Bernal that it's not possible. I mean, yeah, I'd love to see Dan Martin in the break again, but yeah, these valleys are really long, and that's what tends towards break. If maybe the Bike Exchange can get a Callum Scottson over the...
Trutnik.
Yeah, Trutnik. I mean, Caruso, I don't know. They got, as Benji said, maybe they were thinking about stage 20, which is a lot harder. The Verpagna, Vallespluga, Alpimotta stage is harder than tomorrow. But I think hopefully it's interesting. Hopefully it's not like a 20-minute sort of thing again, where we get not – like Dan Martin winning from the break yesterday, it's class. He did really good Wasp per kilo, really strong. Betty all winning today. I like seeing that sort of breakaway win. I hope it's not like a weird sort of stage where just no one in the peloton chases behind and someone almost wins. Ulysses would be nice, actually, from the break. I'd love to see Ulysses, although it'd be third day in a row. But yeah, we don't – I'm thinking break. Benji's thinking break, because – that's what this year has been. But hopefully Almeida takes back 5 minutes out of the GC group and takes his first professional stage win. We'd love to see it. Any other last thoughts on today or tomorrow, Benji?
I think that today's stage was a bit of a snoozer, personally. It was a bit of a meh third week stage. I got to be honest in that. I think that tomorrow is going to be similar, but I'm very much looking forward to the mountain stage afterwards. And I hope that the rest of this week becomes as interesting as the Sigaliala one, because this Giro could very much become a very close one by the end, unexpected a few days ago. But I don't really have too much to add next to that. I think that's about it.
We got the for Tirem de Dauphiné coming up this weekend, which is insane to think about. We're not prepared for it. Our bodies aren't ready, but we'll be covering it nonetheless. But until tomorrow's Stage 19 recap, ciao.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.